Well, it is 6 o'clock, and this is a regular assembly meeting, Tuesday, August the 21st. Madam Clerk.
Warren Keough, District 1.
Present.
Noel Woods, District 2.
Present.
Assemblymember Arvin, District 3, are you on the phone? He is expected, Mr. Mayor. Steve Culligan, District 4.
Here.
Darcy Solomon, District 5.
Here.
Jim Culver, District 6, is expected, Mr. Mayor. Vern Halter, District 7. You do have a quorum, Mr. Mayor.
Very good. We have the agenda before us. Is there any comments? Any objections? Hearing none, we have the orders for the day, for the evening. And we're now ready for our pledge. Ms. Manoas, would you lead us in the pledge, please?
Allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Any comments on the minutes? We'll move on to cities. The city of Palmer's not here tonight. Just ran into the mayor out on the street, but we do have a report in our in your red packet.
Did she get hurt?
No, she didn't get hurt. She was it was not a collision. Mr. Wasilla.
Thank you, Mayor, Assembly members. Before you tonight, you have ordinance number 12-106, which is the final reading for the transfer of Lake Lucille Park to the city of Wasilla. I just want to thank everybody for the work that's been done on that, and especially recognize within the borough office, Glenda Smith, who has had lots of patience with me and helped me through the process. And as I mentioned at your last meeting, once that transfer is complete, we do have slated at least $100,000 in upgrades to the park, which I think everybody will find beneficial. At the last meeting, it was mentioned on cooperation efforts that we've had between the city of Wasilla and the borough, and I would just like to recognize some of them up to this point and just in the last year. In the last year, we've been able to reach agreement on the animal control contract, school board issues, road bond issues, economic development, library development, and the most recent one was in Bethel last week on Kubota. And by having your borough mayor be there, Palmer mayor be there, and Wasilla being represented, we were able to get the Alaska Conference of Mayors to approve a resolution supporting Kubota. And I think the biggest thing that come out of that on a vote of 21-4, 21 being in favor of passage of the Kubota resolution, was that the 21 mayors there that were represented recognized the importance on a statewide issue. It was not a regional issue. And that was brought forward by mayors that were 300 to 500 miles away from us here. They said, you know, this is a statewide issue, not a regional issue. And that, along with the mayor's testimony and the mayor Johnson's testimony, helped get that through. So there is continuing work, you know, and sometimes there's times that we agree to disagree, and that's okay, too. That's just part of government. But I do want to recognize the borough for working with the city of Wasilla, and thank you for everything that's been done up to this point. So thank you.
Yeah, thanks for your part. I relied, and for the record, this is not Mr. Wasilla, it's Bert Cottle. But if it hadn't been for Mr. Cottle there, when I wanted to know, well, now, where's Kenai on this? Where's so-and-so and so-and-so? And well, he'd just run around and ask him, because we definitely didn't want a no vote coming out of that meeting. So that was a good lesson on collaboration. Is Houston here tonight?
Mr. Mayor.
Assemblymember Arvin, is that you?
Yes, sir. I just want to let you know I'm online. Thank you.
Okay, very good. For the record, that's 6:05. So, school district.
Good
Good evening, members of the Assembly, Mr. Mayor. Just a very quick report. We are off to a good start this school year. We want to thank again the borough for your assistance with the construction projects, and everything opened on time. There were a few little delays, some in part due to the rain with some of the roof issues, but and we are well on track to meet our projected enrollment of 17,535 students this year. So once again, thank you for your assistance, and we've had a good start. Thank you.
Thank you. Committee reports. Has there been a joint school board assembly meeting? I guess not. Assembly Public Relations. Okay. We're going to boogie along here. Mr. Manager.
Yes, good evening. Just a reminder, the Great Alaskan State Fair starts this week. And also, too, of interest to the Assembly, we have sent out an RFP for state lobbying services that will close on, I believe it is on September 10th. This is the first time we have, since I've been here, we have gone through the process. And so tonight I'd like to ask you, and maybe during assembly comments, how would you like me to handle, what involvement would the assembly like to be in this process for evaluation and review and selection?
About that. And that's all?
Yes.
Very good. Mr. Attorney.
Mr. Mayor, members of the Assembly, a couple weeks ago we were served with a new lawsuit, just to make the Assembly aware. If you recall, we have the prison. There was a wastewater facility built. It's a design, build, operate, finance. It's a separate company that design, build, operate, and finance the wastewater facility and then bills DOC for it. We were involved because it was our prison project and it needed utilities. During the construction of the well, there was a fatality. A man died during compacting soil. A void or something opened under him. Anyway, the family members have hired an attorney and they've sued everybody. The state, the general contractor, us, the subcontractor, the owner of the land, the person that drilled the original well back in the 80s, John Doe individuals 1 to 10, and John Doe entities 1 to 10. So I just wanted to make you aware that that's new if you start to see anything with regards to it. We've put our insurance carrier on notice and then also retained insurance defense counsel for it. If you want more information on it, just stop by and we can talk about it. That's all I have.
Thank you and welcome back. Madam Clerk.
The clerk's report is in your red folder, and also attached to the clerk's report this evening is the election pamphlet, and I did email that out to the members on Friday, and I wanted to see if there was any changes the Assembly wanted to make to the book or if you thought it was good to go. And just a reminder that the candidate photos will be in black and white. They will not be in color once the printer... Sorry.
Well, if they were the color I saw on the computer screen, I'll go with the black and white.
The pictures do look better in the printed version. The PDF version, okay. They just didn't turn out well.
Any comments for the clerk? I did appreciate on the ballot issues that we refrained from convoluting the issues by saying anything other than the ballot language. I had come to the conclusion that if we're going to say anything beyond the ballot language, it should be like the old days when we'd have a pro and con that present both sides of it. Okay. Correspondence. IMs.
Want me to read that one?
Yeah, Madam Clerk, would you read that into the record?
I am number 12-174, grant agreement with the Valley Community for Recycling Solutions in the amount of $75,000.
Thank you. That's not for action, is it?
No, it's just for information
purposes. There's no unfinished business, no vetoes, so we're ready for public hearings. Madam Clerk.
Ordinance Serial Number 12-076, an ordinance repealing the business inventory tax effective January 1st, 2013.
Thank you. Assemblymember Colligan, you want to move that? Oh, that's right. Yeah. So we will open the public hearing. There's nobody signed up here. Does anybody want to speak to this? Seeing and hearing none, we'll close the public hearing and bring it back to Assemblymember Colligan.
I move to adopt ordinance serial number 12-076.
Thank you. You want to speak to it?
I would actually like to hear from our economic development person, Mr. Don Dyer, and Clayton, to see if there's any update on where we're at in the numbers.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor and the Assembly. Ms. Clayton and I compared notes on the numbers earlier today, and it's almost exactly where we left off on the last discussion. If I'm right, I calculated about a $600,000 loss in revenue if we did this. And Tammy, go on.
Mr. Mayor, members of the Assembly, in May, I reported that there would be 20 accounts that would be effective for approximately $510,000 in the area-wide fund alone. It's actually 16 accounts. The total in the area-wide fund is almost $510,000. It's $508,000. Total amount of personal property taxes spread throughout all the funds is $632,000. Behind the area-wide fund, the largest component, $84,000, goes to Wasilla Lakes Fire Service Area. With regards to construction, new construction is extremely slow. I met with Assessments, who confers with the fire marshal because they have to file permits through them, and also through some of the people that contractors throughout the valley that he knows. So since January 1, we're not even at $12 million in new commercial construction. And some of that, about $4 million of that, includes those several new places you've probably seen where they're moving dirt. So we valued what we think it may be at the end of the year. But new construction has slowed, and that's about it.
Mr. Manager.
Oh, and I had originally said there was 36 locations. There's actually 35 locations with 16 accounts. Or 35 locations with 16 entities.
Mr. Manager.
Yes, if you remember back when we did the budget, this was something that we zeroed out of our recommendation for the 2013 budget, but as a word of caution, just want to remind you that since that time, we came back with the budget and had a $1.5 million reduction taken out of the budget, which reduces the tax cap. And then we have this fall the $20,000 exemption. So those are two additional hits onto our operating budget, and we are concerned about the revenue level and wanted to bring that to your attention as you make a decision on this.
Thank you. Assemblymember Collier.
Yes, I just want to revisit. My intent of bringing this forward was for us to have this discussion. I had several concerns when starting the budget process. Number one, we have 5,200 and some or more licensed businesses, but we only have 150 or so companies that actually report. If you had a business, you should have even reported a zero. So the voluntary reporting process is of concern. The other thing is that most of the larger payers, the bigger box stores and the like, already have built into their systems
everything to collect that tax, distribute that tax, et cetera, versus the small mom-and-pop businesses that we try and protect, the boutiques, et cetera. It costs just as much to track a dollar as it does $1 million, $5 million, et cetera. And my intent was to look at, and I think our economic development intent is to look at how to gain some efficiencies, but also look at warehouse space and encourage warehousing, distribution, logistics type activities in the borough, extend that and integrate that with our port over time. And at the moment might not be the right time to repeal this, and I'm very much open for discussion. I would like to see it go away, but I'd also like to make sure that we are meeting our goals of attracting new warehouse space and inventory that's going to offset, it doesn't take much to offset that tax and relieve the burden for quite a many, and also allow smaller business to be very competitive and provide valued services. And I'm really open for discussion on that, but that's my ultimate intent of the body. But I would like to vote for this, but I'm not sure that we have the warehouse space or the construction to offset that. And I guess that's the discussion I want to have.
Mr. Manager?
Just wonder if acted my review, and if, unfortunately for you, the on the level of tax taxpayers who fall in this group are not public, but of the 16, 14 are national firms and two are Alaskan-based overall. So we have a small local presence in these people who would be, let's just say, caught in the inventory tax at $1 million exemption.
But again, a quick comment to that. It costs just as much to track a dollar as it does to cost $1 million or $5 million. You have to, or legitimately should be tracking all of your inventory and reporting it, whether it's a zero exemption and reporting it. But when we get 150 responses out of 5,200, to me it means we're not really doing our job in enforcing it, and we have to do one or the other.
I will. Well, speaking to the national chain, I was at the AutoZone grand opening last week, and it was their 5,000th store, their 3,000th commercial center, and their first store in Alaska. And I asked their executive director, whoever their top CEO is, everybody was there. I said, you know, why out of all of Alaska didn't you pick Wasilla as the place for your first store? And his immediate response was, because of your business-friendly environment. This attracted a number of jobs. It attracted a tax base that is going to be ongoing outside the inventory tax, and that is precisely the strategy that we're after here. We're bringing both jobs and the taxable income that will come with that infrastructure. So, Assemblymember Keogh, then Assemblymember Halter, I think, had his hand up.
Through the mayor to the manager, a few questions. Have any of the 16 business entities that are currently paying this, or that will be paying this business inventory tax withholdings over $1 million, have you heard from any of them? Have they, anyone said, called and said, this is onerous, this is, we can't do business here with this tax that we have?
They have not talked to me personally, nor did we make contact with them. Maybe ask Don if he's had any discussion, and I'm not sure Don even knows the level of these businesses, although he probably could guess.
Just to give you some more information, of those 16 top companies, they employ, I actually had my assistant do a survey of each one of those, and they employ almost 1,700 employees. And so it's a significant employee base. And from one of the companies that I went and visited, not on this topic, but he actually proactively gave me feedback, and this was one of the Alaska-based companies, that they were very appreciative of the drop in their in the inventory tax, because they are a retailer that works on a small margin, high turnover, and inventory tax was a significant burden for them.
If I can continue with a couple more questions, please.
You may.
My concern here is that if we do away with this, it would be shifting the burden away from these large national businesses primarily onto the local homeowner. So I guess a couple more questions, if I could. Have in the municipality of Anchorage, they have a similar tax, but their threshold, instead of the $1 million that we currently have, their threshold is it $25,000?
The exemption is $20,000.
$20,000.
And they tax business inventory and also business property.
So if we were to defeat this resolution or this ordinance and leave it at the existing $1 million threshold, then it would be unlikely that someone with a large business inventory in Anchorage, I'm suggesting, would that would not dissuade them from moving their business to the borough because of the because they would have $1 million exemption instead of having no tax.
Mr. Manager,
I could understand that scenario, but when we looked at the last year's, when we put together the budget, what we were hoping for is for some large warehouse businesses we attract at the port area, where they would bring that across the drink here and put it in. And the idea is to offset the inventory tax with actual property tax from new construction. And that's I can't say that it has been slow, but we've not we hope to kind of pick that up, and that's our thing. So certainly we're much better than Anchorage, but also too, the more attractive we have, the more I think we have an opportunity to attract businesses to the borough.
And one last question, if I may.
You may.
And that is through the mayor to the manager. I guess a question, has anyone approached the borough suggesting they would come here were it not for our formerly $250,000 threshold that we've moved to $1 million threshold and now we're considering doing away with completely? Has anybody approached us and saying this is your tax is too onerous, we can't come here?
Not that I'm aware of.
Okay. Thank you.
I do have one more comment, Mayor and Assembly. The, one of the questions to think of is, for the type of business that we're trying to attract here, is $1 million big inventory or small inventory? And for that type of business, $1 million is small inventory. So if you want to attract, you know, you have to scale for that type of investor. But I don't have any of those type of investors in the pipe at the moment. However, I have engaged with the commercial real estate community through the Board of Realtors to work on a marketing plan for doing that.
And Mr. Director, wasn't that conversation with the fact that we have already raised the cap to $1 million, but with an intent to take it away altogether?
Yes.
I mean, it's already part of the marketing strategy, so we could throw some cold water on that.
Yep. Could work either way.
Assemblymember Halter.
Good evening. Thank you. Well, it was my understanding. You go ahead. I'd just like to ask you a question too.
Sure.
Then I got a comment. So your idea is to produce more down at the port in that specific zone?
No. We'll take the business wherever we can get it.
Mr. Manager, I guess, was referring to the port as attracting warehouses.
The port would be a logical place for warehouses to show up. But, you know, a good example is AutoZone. I don't know what their property tax or the value of their building is.
Well, AutoZone, now, we raised this exception back in May, but they were probably starting their process of developing their building when the exemption was still $250,000, wasn't it?
You're right.
You can't really credit AutoZone with this type of...
I wasn't trying to do that. I was just making the comparison with the size of inventory and the type of retailers that we might attract as well. Mm-hmm. See, if you take a grocery store or a retail store that has a high turnover type of item, they have a lot of inventory. They also provide a lot of jobs, and they have valuable property. So is it just warehouse space, or are there other types of markets that are attracted to this? And as I've talked to realtors and other people, there are actually many ways of making up, making revenue and attracting, certain other types of investors into the area, not just warehousing. But logistics is a key component.
So is it your testimony that the mill rate to the property owners here in the Mat-Su borough is going to go down if we eliminate this inventory tax?
I don't think there's any guarantees.
There's no guarantees. You were suggesting that. Is that correct?
Well, if you plant a seed, you don't know if it's going to grow. But if you don't plant it, your return is guaranteed. So there's your only guarantee, is if you don't do something.
And if we eliminate this tax totally, basically I hear around that we should diversify our tax bases more than we should all go to property tax. So if we eliminate another tax, that's the opposite of diversification, isn't it?
We have to be fiscally responsible in all that we do. And I guess the question that the Assembly has to consider here is, can we invest $650,000 or $620,000 or $500,000, whatever the figure is in that round area, and get that return? And can we forecast?
And the return would be in less property tax per owner.
Property taxes. And it also spills out another way in employees, increased employees, increased people living here that end up paying property taxes. Like I said, those 16 companies that pay the bulk of our inventory tax now, or pay all the inventory tax, they have almost 1,700 employees. So there's a lot of ways to create revenue from having inventory-heavy companies here doing that.
Good, thank you.
Assemblymember Culligan.
Yeah, I just wanted, and I have a couple more questions for Mr. Dyer.
Sorry.
So where are we at exactly in dollars of warehouse space and real estate that we're lacking to cover that? And so as we head towards this, my mission to start with was to have some goal for economic development. And it's not about the big box stores that are paying the most money to have the most employees. They have a big investment in real estate, and we are collecting from them in real estate largely already. It's really about the smaller companies who are the major employers, or the majority of the folks, or people working from home, to be competitive, mm-hmm. And encourage light manufacturing and other small entrepreneurs to be successful in our community. But I'm a little bit hesitant to charge forward with this, but I would like our body to have a goal, no matter what it is, this year, 6 months, next year, to try and develop properties, encourage properties that are going to offset this tax and then eliminate it to allow smaller business. That's really what it's about at the end of the day, is allow the smaller incubated businesses that are going to be innovative, whatever the industry, hospital services to engineering or whatever, to be very competitive with the bigger businesses that come in. We welcome the big businesses, but we also need to know that the largest employers are going to be small individuals, 10 employees or less probably, that really make up the majority of the employers in our community. So with that, I guess we should have a target of, is it 70,000 square feet of warehouse space or business space originally? And if we're not going to pass this tonight, I want a commitment, and I'm disappointed that we didn't have our planning commission, our budget planning session priorities this summer when we were supposed to have this discussion. I'm not sure that now is the right time to do this with uncertainty, but I certainly want it on the docket 6 months or now or next budget season so that we can have this discussion.
Well, I tell you what, I am within a week of having a database of all the businesses in the Mat-Su borough. And there's some details that I still have to build into that. And what I, one of the goals that I set out when I was interviewing for this position was that I would take and the business blend that we have in the Mat-Su borough and take a portfolio point of view on that. In other words, I would take that blend of businesses and the industries and the size of those businesses and compare it with other municipalities that did well or did poorly. And just like you would compare businesses, if you were a stock investor, if you would compare a business with other peers in its industry, I would compare the Mat-Su borough with other peers that it has nationwide. And then we can actually come up with a meaningful measurement of how to manage the business blend here. Because if we were talking about just stores like Walmart, let's say, it would be we would have to replace it with enough square footage to be about 2.5 Walmarts. So that's the footprint. But like you pointed out, there's a blend of businesses, and you can actually get more value with the smaller businesses, and you get the ripple effect of all the local employees. So I think this is a very productive ongoing discussion that we can have for how to manage the business blend, which industries to focus on, and how we can actually plan the development, the economic development of the Mat-Su borough, and I'm all about planning. So that was a long answer to a short question.
So with that, if I can continue just real quick, is that something you can have together here? We have our planning meeting on the 11th. Is that something that could be prepared for us to at least discuss as part of our...
September 11th?
Yes.
I doubt I could have the comparison ready by then, but okay. I could have the total number of businesses in certain industries. But as you know, by looking at some of the data, the coding of the industry codes is not spot on. There's some scrubbing that has to be done on that.
So with that, I have a question for the manager. Is there anything schedule-wise... us postponing us for a little bit this decision, that notifications have to go out or something else, requirements that we can't have this discussion over the next week or month or whatever. But
Mr. Manager?
We certainly could aim towards that, and I appreciate your caution. This is something we want to go to, but also, too, we're trying to be very cautious on how this impacts our operation. I'm here to borough, and we understand that disassembly is not very favorable to any type of millage increase. So with that in mind, we will certainly work towards that and want to get your goal. From my understanding, when we did this, the business inventory reduction was to grow our revenue and business growth, and that's really the only way it makes sense for us in operation. So I think we certainly can do that. We got our meeting in just a little over 2 weeks. That might be a little short of time, but we certainly can work through that this fall and do some meaningful targets and find a way of tracking our growth, and when we hit that threshold where it would make sense to move forward on our operations and grow our economy.
Also, the database is a tool that's being provided for the Mat-Su Economic Advisory Council by me, so that they can work on the business blend and come up with targets and things like that as well. And that's an active body that's working now.
I'll call for the question.
So we've got two people stacked up. Is there objection to closing debate?
Mr. Mayor.
Assemblymember Arvin.
Yeah, I would object to closing debate. I want to weigh in on this briefly.
Okay. So I'm going to ignore the call for the question. Assemblymember Woods is next.
Mr. Dwyer, I'd like to put you on the spot. I know you watch this sort of thing pretty closely. What, in your estimation, is the economic outlook for the next few months, let's say a half a year or a little longer, for this area?
So far this year, we have had approximately 750 new business licenses issued, with only about 140 not renewing, and approximately 400 renewals. So business growth and optimism is going on here in the Matsu Borough. You know, there are clouds on the horizon nationally, though, and what effect that will have, who knows. I did attend the Resource Development Council lunch in Anchorage a few weeks ago, and caution was certainly the word that was used there.
Thank you.
Assemblymember Solomon.
Yeah, a couple points. First, I'm not in favor of having workshops after public hearings on issues that I've heard the maker of this motion twice declare that he didn't think maybe this was the time to have brought this forward. I think it's a big enough issue and big enough numbers that we should have maybe called a special work session on it such that we could have come before the members tonight knowledgeably with the public and voted on this up or down. I'm not in favor of presenting ordinances. I will not present an ordinance to you or to the people that I do not expect to pass when I bring it to you. If I bring you an ordinance, I want the vote. If you vote for it, wonderful. If you vote against it, wonderful also. But I'm confused here because it doesn't seem to me that this has been prepared to come to public hearing, let alone to hold a workshop afterwards. And I'll call for the question again.
Well, you did have the floor, so I can't ignore it. Are we ready to close debate? Is there objection to... Because we do have another assembly member, Arvin, that wanted to speak. Okay, there is objection. Madam Clerk, would you take the vote on whether to close debate?
Assemblymember Culligan.
No.
Assemblymember Woods.
No.
Assemblymember Halter. Yes. Assemblymember Keough.
Yes.
Assemblymember Solomon.
Yes.
Assemblymember Arvin.
Yes.
Mr. Mayor, it has failed. It requires four votes, or five votes, excuse me.
So it's still on the floor. Assemblymember Arvin, did you wish to speak?
Yeah, I do, and I'm, you know, I guess maybe it's inappropriate, but I'm compelled to comment on what Member Solomon mentioned. I think that it is, in fact, a good use of time to bring questions forward, vet them amongst our peers, and with the possible outcome of either voting an issue up or down as opposed to scheduling a workshop. I think that that may, in fact, be the best use of the public's time and our time to thrash through an issue and be done with it. But besides that, whether the maker of the motion feels that this may or may not be the right time, this body has taken some dramatic steps over the last year and a half in particular. And with that, we have redefined how we deal with our income streams and our cost of providing essential public services that the public expects. And with that, I am having a very difficult time getting my mind wrapped around the issue with respect to multinational firms enjoying a tax
break to the tune of $600,000 or whatever the final number is. I heard a couple different ones tonight. And expect as a consumer that they would lower the cost of a gallon of milk by a halfpenny. I don't think those numbers crunch that way. So I'm not prepared to deal with this tonight. I don't think that it's an appropriate resolution to bring forward at this time. And with that, I would move to postpone this indefinitely.
Okay, there's a motion to postpone indefinitely. Madam Clerk, is that debatable?
It is, Mr. Mayor.
Okay. Is there objection to that?
I object.
Okay, you want to speak to it?
Yeah, my motion, if I have a chance, is to amend this to give the manager and staff time to adequately. This is an issue, and my intent to bring this forward is to set some guidelines, which this body has managed not to get off their duff this summer, to get together and set priorities to address these things this summer. We've kicked our mid-year meeting, which this should have been addressed at, to now a week or so from now. But how can we expect an economic development department to focus and operate if we aren't setting some guidelines and some goals for them to achieve? That is my issue. And I would like to see us over the next year figure out how to achieve these goals, how to integrate our other projects that we have that are half-baked to bring them to full fruition, to alleviate the tax burden on the individual property owner while also allowing small business owners and others to flourish, bring on some more entrepreneurship, and have a much more creative environment to work in. That is my issue. I would like to see this actually kick down the road for a month or whatever it is to have this discussion, and we can take it up at our priority meeting. But I am totally 100% disgusted with our ability to have a twice annual meeting.
You mean a strategic?
Absolutely correct.
Meeting. So your intent is to vote against indefinite postponement with the view to...
That is correct.
...postponing it to time certain.
That is correct.
Assemblymember Woods?
Can we make that amendment?
This is not amendable. You need to vote it down if you want to postpone to time certain. Madam Clerk?
To the members of the Assembly, the motion to postpone indefinitely is not amendable. However, you can move to postpone it to a different date. However, the first thing you're going to bring up at the next date is the motion to postpone indefinitely. You would have to vote on that first. So you can postpone it to a different date, but the first thing before you is going to be the postpone indefinitely motion.
Mr. Mayor.
Assemblymember Woods was next.
I think he did.
Oh, and then Assemblymember Arvin. Are you still there, Assemblymember Arvin?
Yes, sir. Do I have the floor?
You do.
Thank you. So I really do applaud Member Culligan for bringing tax relief questions to the body. I do. And I support them holistically. But I would caution the maker of the motion that it is a bit of a dicey road that we're going down, because so many times we hear about it's not government's role to set the platform. It's not government's role to identify what businesses will succeed or fail. Rather, it is government's role to be responsive to business and hear the question. And with that, we can speculate all day long about what new enterprises may come forward if we don't have an inventory tax. We have an inventory tax today with an exemption up to $1 million. That is significant given the types of businesses that exist in the Valley today.
We're trying to encourage. We're trying to encourage other businesses to come, but I think we would be better served to let the Economic Development Department find out who...
Assemblymember Arvin, you should be debating the motion to postpone.
I am. That's why I...
Indefinitely, yeah.
Indefinitely. Because we should be sitting at that table listening to the Economic Development Department telling us what businesses want to come, what are showing interest, and what it is they require to locate in the borough. For us just to handily waive the inventory tax is a mistake, especially coupled with what we have already done to correct some profound issues that were set in the past. So if we postpone this indefinitely, have the strategic planning meeting, give clearer direction to the manager and the economic director, then we can better respond to what businesses might want to come here. I think that to leave this hanging out there, that we may or may not delete the inventory tax altogether, does nothing to encourage knowingly what businesses might even have interest to show up here. That's my point. So I would encourage the body to postpone this indefinitely, and at our strategic planning meeting, we can give some better direction to staff. Thank you.
Thank you, Assemblymember Solomon and Assemblymember Keough, on the motion to postpone.
I didn't want to speak to that motion. Thank you.
Okay, Assemblymember Keough, to postpone indefinitely.
This is an ill-conceived ordinance. I support the motion to postpone indefinitely and kill this ordinance that will ultimately shift the tax burden to the homeowners. Let's vote.
Okay. The question is before us, is there objection to postponing indefinitely?
I object.
There is an objection, Madam Clerk.
Assemblymember Woods. Motion is to postpone indefinitely.
No.
Assemblymember Halter. No. Assemblymember Keough.
Yes.
Assemblymember Solomon.
Yes.
Assemblymember Arvin.
Yes.
Assemblymember Culligan.
No.
Mr. Mayor, we do have a tie.
Well, you know how that's going to go. The mayor would vote no.
So it is still open, Mr. Mayor.
Assemblymember Culligan.
Mr. Mayor, I would like to propose postponing this and have the manager identify a suitable time and also engage our finance department at the same time to prepare numbers on what it would take to actually enforce or audit the business licenses. We mentioned Anchorage that has a $25,000 inventory tax, which I know my company participates in, but it is audited every year or reviewed during the application process. So we have 150 businesses out of over 5,000 that voluntarily participate, but if we're going to continue to have that and have the inventory tax, then we should be looking at how people actually voluntarily participate. I don't think the property owners would probably also enjoy to voluntarily participate in paying their property tax.
Can you give us a time certain?
I would ask the manager and Mr. Dyer when a time certain would be good to have, and we might have more numbers.
Mr. Manager?
Can I confer for a moment?
Sure.
30 seconds.
That's a pretty short time certain. Oh, I see. For the so we'll note for the record that Assemblymember Colligan Colbert arrived at 6:50. And why don't we take a 10-minute break and we'll come back at 7 o'clock. Is that what you wanted, Assemblymember Solomon?
No, I wanted to make a comment.
Well, go ahead.
My thoughts are on this ordinance, that it's been hashed out to the degree that it has. What if we had voted on it and it passed? Where would we be right now if this ordinance, as it sets before us, was voted on and passed, as ordinances presented to us inordinately are presented in order to become code? This one, just like Mr. Keogh said, this was not ready to come here, and I wish we'd have voted on it and passed it. Just
so a 10-minute break. I was going to ask to combine these three gas LIDs, but we have people signed up to speak on each one, so I think we will just go right straight through as advertised.
We're still on number one.
Oh, well, I was already moved on. So is there objection to closing debate? On the motion to postpone, the manager's going to give us a date.
The main motion's on the floor. Right?
Yeah, the main motion is on, no. There's a motion to postpone to time certain.
Yeah, there was no date.
Yeah, we're waiting for the date. Mr. Manager.
We believe that we could have something by November. However, it's most likely we're going to have to bring in a contractor to do that work, and we're guessing at a tune about $75,000 that we don't have planned for. So we can do it.
To give us a time certain?
Yes, I would $275,000?
$275,000?
No. November.
Oh.
And $75,000.
Mr. Motion Maker, what was attached to the motion to postpone to time certain that put a price tag on it?
I just wanted an estimate of what it's going to take to actually end this voluntary reporting. There's no such thing as a voluntary tax. And I wanted an estimate at that time of what it's going to take to enforce our business license tax, among many other things. So apply to businesses. So with that, what date in November?
The two regular meetings for the mayor to Assemblymember Colligan are November 6th and November 20th.
Let's go with November 20th.
Okay, motion is postponed to November 20th. Are we ready for the question? Is there objection to that? There is objection. So, Madam Clerk.
Assemblymember Halter. Assemblymember Keogh.
No.
Assemblymember Solomon.
No.
Assemblymember Arvin.
Yes.
Assemblymember Culver.
No.
Assemblymember Colligan.
Yes.
Assemblymember Woods.
Yes.
Mr. Mayor, the motion passes with Assemblymember Arvin, Culligan, and Woods opposed. Or, excuse me, failed. I apologize.
Okay, we have the main motion on the floor. Are we ready for the question? Please, and is there objection? No objection, it passes, Madam Clerk.
Restate the motion, please.
Okay, there is objection, so Madam Clerk.
Assemblymember Keough.
Please restate the motion. What are we?
Main motion's on the floor to adopt the ordinance.
No.
Assemblymember Salmon.
No.
Assemblymember Arvin.
No.
Assemblymember Culver.
No.
Assemblymember Culligan.
Yes.
Assemblymember Woods.
No.
Mr. Mayor, the motion has failed.
Okay.
Oh, I'm sorry, Vern. I apologize. I'm just not tracking.
For the record, I'll vote no twice.
I apologize.
So, moving on. Motion fails. Ordinance 12-092. As I said, we were going to combine all these, but we have people signed up for each one, so we're going to deal with them one at a time. And for the public's record, there are sufficient votes in each of those to pass. So if you're worried about that, you probably don't need to take a lot of time. Madam Clerk, Ordinance 12-092.
An ordinance creating Homestead Estates and on the Iditarod Natural Gas Local Improvement District number 460, approving the improvement plan for the district, authorizing the manager to proceed with the improvement, and assessing equally among the properties within the district the costs of the improvement.
We have Don McAllen signed up. Please come forward, state your name for the record, and you'll have 3 minutes.
Push anything? Yeah, hi, I'm Don McAllen. I'm just here to speak in favor of the gas extension. I don't really need three minutes. I'm in favor of it.
We really love business like that. And is this the same one? Also, Harland Grower.
Mr. Mayor and assembly members, I also am in favor of it. I know that this was very well written, this summary of everything. I just wanted to put a little personal face on it. We're one of the property owners. We heat with propane. And I know last winter our highest propane bill for a month was $892. I have a kid brother who lives over by Colony School who has natural gas. His highest energy bill was $283, and he has a 3,300-square-foot house compared to our 2,000-square-foot house. So there's considerable savings, and we're on retirement, fixed income. We may be doing a little better than a lot of people, but still, those are expensive bills for heating in the winter, and we would really like to see this thing go through without a hitch. My wife's worked very hard on this to try and get everybody to vote. When we first got the petition going, a lot of people signed, but then when it came to the vote, we had to chase a few people down because they kind of throw it to one side and think they'll do it later, and time slips away. So we worked very hard to get the last votes to put us over the top and get the majority. Thank you.
Thank you. We'll get you to get people around for October 2nd. Is there anybody else that wants to speak to this ordinance? Seeing and hearing none, we will close it and bring it back to Assemblymember Salmon.
Mr. Mayor, I move to adopt ordinance serial number 12-092.
Is there objection or discussion? I don't hear any objection, so that passes. Assemblymember Salma, if you'd turn your machine off, thank you. Next is Ordinance 12-093. Madam Clerk.
An ordinance creating East Dock McKinley and South Jesse Joe Place Natural Gas Local Improvement District number 486, approving the improvement plan for the district, authorizing the manager to proceed with the improvement, and assessing equally among the properties within the district the costs of the improvement.
Is there somebody signed?
Not on this.
Oh, there's nobody signed up for this. Does anybody want to speak to this? Seeing and hearing none, we'll close the public hearing and bring it back to Assemblymember Keel.
I move to adopt ordinance serial number 12-093.
Is there a discussion? Is there objection? Hearing none, it passes. 12-094, Madam Clerk.
An ordinance creating Ravens Hill and Norman Lang's Holiday Natural Gas Local Improvement District number 470, approving the improvement plan for the district, authorizing the manager to proceed with the improvement, and assessing equally among the properties within the district the costs of the improvement.
Barbara Gerard is signed up. Please come forward.
Hi, my name's Barbara Gerard, and I just wanted to thank the neighbors in our area that helped support and work on this LID, and I am in strong support of our neighborhood having another or a better affordable energy resource to heat our homes. Thank you.
Thank you. Chris Cruz, I think it is. State your name for the record.
Thank you. Hello, my name is Christopher Cruz. I live on Soapstone Road, and I'd just like to state that this is probably one of the better motions that's been put forth before the community since in the last few years since I've been here. And as a point of reference, in 2011, April, our fuel oil boiler died after spending $500-$600 a month in heating oil bills. Found out it was going to cost about $12,000 or $13,000 to replace it, which there's no way I'm going to come up with that kind of cash out of my own back pocket. So we went to a pellet stove as the only alternative that we had, which puts us at the mercy of Home Depot and Lowe's. And point in fact, last April, Lowe's more than doubled their prices on wood pellets. Now, we were managing to heat our house a 2,400 square foot split level using two wood stoves and a pellet stove last year for about $150 a month. Now, with natural gas, you know, it's more cost efficient for us. We'll have a backup, and we won't be like one particular family that comes to mind who had to abandon their house this spring after getting eaten alive on their heating bill last winter and turn it over to the bank. And this was a very hardworking family, and they had to get rid of their livestock and everything else and just drop it all and move into an apartment in town here. At least they stayed in Palmer, but they had to give up everything. And so I am firmly in support of having natural gas out in our area. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Oral Scott, followed by Brandy Crum.
Mr. Mayor, members of the Assembly, my name is Oral Scott, and I'm here to tell you that we put a lot of work into getting natural gas on Soapstone, as you've heard previously. We have family members who have had to leave the area due to the fact they could not afford heating costs. Some members are paying upwards of $700-$800 a month for heating oil. Those people like myself who heat with firewood are slaves to the stove, and if you want to go somewhere for a couple days, you better have somebody that knows how to build a fire because it's going to freeze up. So with this gas, it's going to provide us with an alternative, and thank you.
Thank you. Brandy, followed by Jeanette Goss.
Hi, my name is Brandy, and I'm in favor of the natural gas line to the Soapstone area. We're all really excited about it. I was actually part of the team that helped collect signatures on the petition, as well as the votes, as well as recruiting people to show up today. I think it's awesome. We have a lot more people that are here that are not even signed up to speak to show their support, which thank you, everyone, for coming. I hope that you can see that as a representation of the community and that this is something we really want and need up there. Thank you.
Thank you. Jeanette, followed by Peggy Dodd.
My name is Jeanette Goss, and I just want to say that we're very much in support of this particular action. This isn't just a matter of price either. The problem with not having affordable heating fuel, it is impacting a lot of our lives. We're on a fixed income. Our monthly winter bill was $700 to $800 a month. If it continues to go like that, we are forcing people out of our community, like a former person said. We have a lot of handicapped, disabled people in our neighborhood. We need affordable housing. We need to do what affordable heating. We need to do what we can to keep our people in this community and be active. Thank you.
Thank you. Peggy, followed by Linda Werdeman.
Hi, my name is Peggy Dodd, and I would just like to thank you, Mr. Mayor, and for the assembly members for letting us give some input tonight. The issue tonight, I feel, is affordable utilities and affordable heating. And like everyone else has said, my husband and I, we own two properties, and so our fuel bills are just well above what some of these other people have even said. So wintertime is just incredibly hard for us. I think that having natural gas in our area is really going to help grow our community and will also help future generations to come. And so I would just thank you for whatever you guys can do to help see that we get natural gas in our area. Thank you.
Thank you. Linda, followed by Wallace Werdeman.
Hi, I'm Linda Werdeman. I just wanted to say that we're all for the gas. We're one of those people that has $800 a month oil bills, so this is going to be a big improvement. We get it. Thank you.
Thank you. Wallace?
My name is Wallace Wharton. I've been here for forever. My dad used to run Standard Oil in Palmer. So oil's gone up, and it's still going up, and I'm strictly for natural gas. Thank you.
Thank you. Is there anybody else? That's all that signed up. Seeing and hearing none, we'll bring it back, and it's really great to hear something everybody up there agrees on. We'll bring it back to Assemblymember Keogh.
Don't count on that. But I move to adopt serial number 12-094, and I'd like to speak to that.
You may.
First of all, thank you to all the residents in the Soapstone area that have appeared and spoken here this evening. It's unusual that we have that many people commenting on a natural gas LID. And by way of history, too, when these natural gas LIDs come forward my term here on the assembly, the assembly has never gone against a majority vote in favor of an LID, or where one has passed, we've always voted unanimously to turn it down. So, and this is going to pass once we vote. I did want to share with you and fellow assembly members, as I have in the past on these natural gas LIDs, that and before I say that, I'll just mention the results of this. There were 53% of, and this is a rather large natural gas LID, as you know, 115 lots altogether. 53% of the respondents voted in favor 18% voted no, and 29% were non-responsive to the ballot. I did hear from some folks who did not want to incur the cost of this natural gas local improvement district, which is a total cost of some $5,000. I would just like to share with fellow assembly members and others that I just hope that folks in favor would appreciate the feeling or the mindset of those folks opposing it. So everyone appreciates the high cost of oil or the labor-intensive burning firewood and the prospective cost of lowering your heating costs by having natural gas. But on the other hand, please keep in mind those folks who either don't want to participate in this gas LID, even though they'll have to when this passes, because they don't need it. They're satisfied with their own way that they heat their home or their own fuel supply, or they can't afford it. And I think they have some very legitimate concerns, and I have some issues about some of the impacts on the local government being able to encumber and foreclose, if necessary, on private homeowners who cannot or will not pay for this natural gas extension. So anyway, and I would just mention finally that I will be bringing an ordinance forward that amends the current borough code regarding LIDs. It's going to bump up the minimum percentage for approval in the future. So anyway, with that said, thanks again very much for everyone's attendance and voting in favor of this ordinance.
Thank you. Is there any objection to this? Please turn your mic.
Oh,
Assemblymember Culver, please.
Well, I guess I'll provide the counterpoint to your argument, Mr. Keough. I will be voting against increasing the percentage. Probably the most important factor that we have to when you're thinking about buying real estate, investing in a home, locating your
Assemblymember Culver, that's not the motion.
Motion.
So,
this is good public policy, and that's why I'm going to vote for it. And, and so, you know, we get wrapped around the axle about property rights and this and that, but this LID would not have passed if we changed the percentage. 53% was on the record. It creates affordable housing. It enhances development. It makes your real estate marketable. If you have $1,500 a month oil bill to heat your home, you're not going to be able to sell your home. It's going to be, the value is going to be adjusted down, the appraised value, to correspond with that inadequate, unaffordable type of heat. Fairbanks is grappling with that. That's what all about the Alaska standalone gas pipeline is all about, because they have no alternative. So, I mean, it used to be that we would locate on schools. Well, you want to locate in the valley where the, you know, people want to live by Colony District. I would surmise right now that the most important thing is, do they have gas available and, you know, good roads. So I will be supporting this, and I will be defending this process so that people can continue to grow this economy in our community. And thank you so much for coming out tonight.
Thank you. Is there any objection to this ordinance? Hearing none, it passes. And now we move to ordinance, is it 12106?
Yes.
12106.
An ordinance authorizing conveyance of borough-owned real property, Lake Lucille Park, to the city of Wasilla after certain conditions are satisfied, MSB 006279.
Is there anybody signed up? We've already heard testimony from the city of Wasilla. Does anybody else wish to speak to this? Hearing none, we will close public testimony and bring it back to Assemblymember Culligan.
I move to adopt ordinance serial number 12-106. Thank you.
Is there objection to this motion?
Seeing and hearing none, it passes. And 12-107.
An ordinance accepting and appropriating $8,335,000 for a portion of the fiscal year 2013 designated legislative grant projects from the Alaska State Department of Commerce, Community, and Economic Development, with accompanying resolution serial number 12-095, a resolution approving the scope of work and budget for a portion of the fiscal year 2013 designated legislative grant projects from the Alaska State Department of Commerce, Community, and Economic Development.
Okay, we'll open the public hearing. Does anybody wish to speak to this? Seeing and hearing none, we'll close the public hearing and bring it back to Assemblymember Salmon.
Mr. Mayor, I move to adopt ordinance serial number 12-107 and accompanying resolution serial number 12-095.
Is there a discussion? Is there objection? Assemblymember Halter?
I was just going to ask that if we could send a letter of thank you to our legislative delegation, because most of this money is from the state, and we really appreciate it.
It's a very good thing to do. So, hearing no objection, that motion passes, and we're now ready for ordinance 12-108.
An ordinance appropriating $700,000 from the Greater Butte Road Service Area Number 26, Fund Balance, Fund 280 to Fund 410, Project Number 30046 for Greater Butte Road Service Area Number 26 Capital Projects.
Thank you. Anybody wish to speak to this? We'll open the public hearing. Seeing none, we'll close the public hearing and bring it back to Assemblymember Keough.
I move to adopt ordinance serial number 12-108.
Is there discussion? Is there objection? Hearing none, that passes, and we move to 12-109.
An ordinance accepting and appropriating $10,000 from the Alaska State Railroad Corporation to fund 480 project number 47011, archaeological surveys to conduct an archaeological survey, evaluation, and inventory of historic and prehistoric sites within the proposed 200-foot railroad right-of-way between the City of Houston and Port McKenzie, with accompanying resolution serial number 12-096, a resolution approving the scope of work and budget to conduct an archaeological survey, evaluation, and inventory of historic and prehistoric sites within the proposed 200-foot railroad right-of-way between the City of Houston and Port McKenzie.
Thank you. Does anybody wish to speak to this?
Mr. Mayor.
Assemblymember, this is for public hearing. Since you're not public at this point, did you have a question?
Nope. I'll wait.
Okay. I see no one wishing to speak to this, so we'll close the public hearing and bring it back to Assemblymember Salmon.
Mr. Mayor, I move to adopt ordinance serial number 12-109 and resolution serial number 12-096.
Thank you. Assemblymember Arvin. Assemblymember Salmon, would you turn off your mic? Thanks.
Yeah, Mr. Mayor, I guess my question is $10,000 to conduct that level of effort on that alignment seems remarkably low, so I'm curious to find out, is the borough pitching in like some of its own resources in tandem with the railroad to accomplish this?
Mr. Manager?
No, sir. This is an additional amount of money that is being transferred from the Alaska Railroad to the borough to finish up this work. This will be a part-time staff person that we have on who will be conducting this, and this is an additional funds to the work that's already been done.
Assemblymember Woods. Well, I'm sorry. Did that answer your question, Assemblymember Arvin?
Well, it did to a degree. I guess my next question was going to be,
it would seem foolhardy that the project has moved along to the degree it has without some significant level of work with respect to this particular scope. And I wanted some clarification, in fact, that this was to wrap it up. And I think that's what I heard from the manager.
That's right, Mr. Manager.
Mr. Arvin, I believe that wraps up the current segments that we have bid out or are planning to bid out in the near term. Though I'm sure there'll be additional work as we move forward on different segments of the rail. We anticipate the rail to be another 3 years of work, and I think three more segments to be bid out. And my understanding would be as we get the legislative funding for that, we would be doing the archaeological studies on those segments at that time.
So, Mr. Manager, why wouldn't this language cover the entire distance?
Because we have not received funding from the state for the entire distance. We've only received approximately money for half of the distance. And so, therefore, since we have not been funded for it through the state appropriation, we have not authorized work. Hence, you know, the original question on are we spending other borough funds on the study, and we are not.
Okay. Are we ready for the question? Is there objection to this motion? Seeing and hearing none, it is passed. And now we move to Ordinance 12-110.
An ordinance accepting and appropriating a fiscal year 2013 designated legislative grant in the amount of $23,500,000 from the Alaska State Department of Commerce, Community, and Economic Development for the South Central Rail Extension from Port McKenzie to the main line to Fund 490, Project Number 75001, with accompanying Resolution Serial Number 12-097, a resolution approving the scope of work and budget and authorizing the manager to enter into the necessary agreements with the Alaska State Department of Commerce, Community, and Economic Development for the South Central Rail Extension from Port McKenzie to the mainline project.
Does anybody want to speak to this? Seeing and hearing none, we'll close the public hearing. Bring it back to Assemblymember Salmon.
I move to adopt Ordinance Serial Number 12-110 and accompanying Resolution Serial Number 12-097.
Okay. Is there a discussion? Mr. Manager, is this for one more segment?
Yes, sir. This is what was approved by the state legislature for the 2013 budget, and we're happy to be able to receive it.
Thank you. Is there objection to this motion? Hearing none, it passes. And we now move to Ordinance 12-111.
An ordinance accepting and appropriating $5,500 from the Alaska State Department of Education to Fund 480, Project Number 20364, for continuing education grants at the Big Lake, Sutton, Talkeetna, Trapper Creek, and Willow Libraries, with accompanying Resolution Serial Number 12-098, resolution approving the scope of work and budget for continuing education grants for the Big Lake, Sutton, Talkeetna, Trapper Creek, and Willow Public Libraries.
Open for public hearing. I see no one coming forward, so we will close the public hearing and bring it back to Assemblymember Halter.
Number 12-098.
Is there a discussion? Is there objection? Hearing none, it passes. And we now move to audience participation. And Mr. Snyder is first, followed by Helen Minos. Please come forward. You have 3 minutes to speak to us about anything not on the agenda.
Or on the agenda.
True. Did you want to talk to us, Mr. Snyder? Do you want to speak to us? Now's the time.
I've been involved with a lot of law things, a lot of homestead stuff. One of the things I stumbled on was a judgment or decree.
Please state your name for the record.
What's that?
You need to state your name for the record. It's a legal process here.
I'm Neil Allen Snyder. Anyway, we've got findings of fact and conclusions of law. No valid liens on homestead. Here's a case that was tried, blah, blah, you just fill in the blank, before this court, sitting without a jury with name of attorney for plaintiff, appearing as attorney for plaintiff, and name of attorney for defendant, appearing as attorney for defendant. The court, having heard examine the evidence, both oral and documentary, introduced by the parties, and having heard and considered the arguments of counsel, now makes the following findings of fact and conclusions of law. My. On date, plaintiffs filed properly, executed a valid declaration of homestead concerning real property. All right, what's that? Situated in county, state, more particularly described as legal description of property, which plaintiffs occupied optional with their minor children as their home and residence. Plaintiffs have never released or abandoned the homestead. On, after the recordation, of homestead, the defendant commenced an action against plaintiffs in the name of court, of county, of state, entitled, case title, number. On date, judgment. Defendant obtained a judgment against plaintiffs in the above-mentioned action. The judgment was recorded in book, name, recording official, of name and county, book, in, title, book, page. The court issued a writ of attachment against the plaintiff's above-described homestead property on the date of issuance of the writ, and the sheriff of the county under which the writ attached levied against the property. The attachment and judgment described have no liens against the plaintiff's property, which property was exempted under citation of homestead statute. The defendant has no estate, right, title, lien, or interest in the homestead property or any part of the property. Plaintiffs own in fee simple and are entitled to the lawful, quiet, peaceful possession of a homestead property. Judgment should be entered quieting plaintiff's title to the homestead property and defendant claiming judgment. Judgment should be entered and awarding plaintiff's cost of action. That's it.
Thank you, Mr. Snyder. You just proved that you can speak to this body about anything that's civil and appropriate. Ms. Minos, followed by Dina Sorensen.
My name is Helen Minos. Mr. Manager, Mayor, and Borough Assembly, I picked up the Frontiersman this morning. I'm not here about septic tank problems, but it seems that the creamery is having problems with even disposing of their milk whey product. And the DEC is involved in it. And I've been here 40 years, and I think we were an agricultural dairy experiment that was started in 1935, and there were people here before us. And I've been fighting 40 years for it. Was a very interesting article because they were talking about how much it was costing to dispose of this whey, and they're disposing of it on DNR property, and that was granted to them to be able to do this, but now they've been told they can't do it, and they can't take it into Anchorage because that's not feasible either. And Mr. Woolley said it won't hurt waterways, but if you put it in a stream, it will kill the fish. And yet you can put whey on agricultural land because there's nutrients in it. So I get more confused every day when I deal with government and agencies and the profession that I've been in all my life. And I haven't, you know, I'm not making any money on what I'm doing, but I'm still after getting some kind of a septage disposal facility. And maybe they'll look into regional sometime with all our economic. I know Mr. Dyer pretty well, and I'm not against economic development. I'm not against the kindergarten course. I'm not against anything. I came from a very populated area of this country. But there were very few people when I moved here. And there's only 90,000 now, and you guys seem to be having an awful lot of problem managing anything and starting with very simple infrastructure. If you want development, like I've said before, you better think of the basics. That's all. I'm going to go home. Good night.
Thank you. Ms. Sorensen, then followed by Kevin Sorensen.
Hello. My name is Dina Sorensen, and I would like to speak regarding Resolution 07-0128M, which was unanimously passed by the Assembly on February 6, 2007. This resolution was to select the site for the South Palmer Elementary School. Kevin Sorensen, my husband, is a land developer. He and I have developed numerous properties throughout the Palmer area. In 2005, he purchased 38 acres on the Springer system to hold as business inventory to be developed or sold in the future. This land was fee simple with no restrictions. Later, he sold almost 6 acres of that parcel for a church site. Then in 2006, we answered an RFP put out by the borough requesting land for the South Palmer Elementary School site. We worked for months responding to the RFP and being involved in the RFP process. Our site was scored as the highest site in the Springer area by staff. On January 10, 2007, a public hearing was held and the Nelson Road site was recommended for purchase by the site selection committee. The committee also recommended that the borough purchase the Springer Loop site. The committee issued a resolution which stated in part, be it further resolved, should the Nelson Road site be secured as the site for the new South Palmer Elementary School, the committee acknowledges that the Springer Loop site is identified as a valuable location for a future school site and does hereby recommend that the borough manager be authorized to enter into negotiations to acquire the site and classify it for use as a future school. At the February 6, 2007 assembly meeting, which included a public hearing on the school site selection, an amendment was added to the resolution to select the Nelson Road school site. The amendment stated in part, be it further resolved that the manager will continue reasonable efforts to acquire the Springer Loop site for a school to be built when the Madawaska-Susitna School District supports constructing a new school in the South Palmer area and when funding for constructing a school is available. Kevin was waiting to negotiate with staff. Staff said they needed to verify funds for the purchase, and they were waiting for that. Unknown to us, on May 8, 2008, at the assembly meeting, the borough manager stated that the Springer Loop site was no longer available. Nothing could have been further from the truth. Later, in October of 2011, we approached the new manager and requested that he resume negotiations. He said he wanted it to go through the site selection committee. We're here tonight because there's still a resolution out there to negotiate for the purchase of our site.
Please wrap it up.
Okay. I believe it's still in effect. And once again, the site selection committee has ranked our site as the highest, or the staff has scored it in the highest in their matrix. We've waited a long time for negotiations to occur, and we would like the Assembly to reaffirm this resolution.
Thank you. Mr. Sorensen.
Good evening. My name is Kevin Sorensen. And in follow-up to my wife's comments, I would just like to say that what she stated about the the manager's actions on the negotiations were deceptive, much deeper than what she identified, which is unfortunate because the borough should act with good faith in their dealings. These were deliberate deceptions. They were just outright wrong. This site was once again scored the highest, and I think one point that needs to be brought out is not only was it scored the highest again, but nobody has brought forth one item to say that that's particular to this site that it should not be the highest rated site. This has been on at the site discussed the site selection committee. I believe for five meetings it has been a topic of discussion. Nobody has brought up one thing to say something particular to this site is an indication that it should not be the highest rated site. There has been some issues brought up with general area issues. And the heart of that one is that currently I lease it out to a gentleman to farm hay. So there's an objection because it's farmland. This is not an issue for the site selection committee. This is an issue for the assembly. It's time to get this passed, and it's time for the assembly to make the decision on this because this is now assembly decision time. The site selection committee and your staff can waste a whole bunch of time going round and round about land use policy that they have no business initiating. And, you know, I'd like to reiterate that this land is fee simple land. It has no restrictions. I bought it that way. It's infrastructure rich. It will be developed. It has a quarter mile of 24-inch sewer main along it. It has almost a quarter mile of 36-inch sewer main along it. It's generally flat but gently sloped to the south end where the 36-inch gravity-fed sewer main is located. It's totally developable. The soils are excellent. They're Bodenberg soils. They run about probably from 2.5 to 4 feet deep and then to good sand and gravels. And I would like to encourage the assembly to take action. It is their time to do it. Thank you.
Thank you. There's nobody else signed up. Does anybody else wish to speak to us?
Good evening. My name is Michelle Church. I had a question on the IM 12190 on the insurance for the MV Susitna. Just reading the manager's recommendation, it's interesting that, and maybe I'm wrong, and maybe you can clarify it for me and for everybody else. The $490,000 that it's going to cost for 1 year of insurance is for liability only. It looks like it's just for the operations of the vessel. And so my concern would be the assembly's discussion to pull it on shore. If it damages the boat, this $490,000, from what I'm reading, won't cover that. So I would just ask that the assembly look at this really carefully, because $500,000 more on this, I do not know what happened with this whole process, but spending another $500,000 and then dragging it onshore and damaging it seems pretty inappropriate. And in regards to the South Palmer site, again, the issue is not whether the Sorensen property is developable. It is developable, and by all means, he should develop it. Buying that property on speculation is not the borough's problem. And it's the impact that putting a school in that farmland that has 2.5 to 4 foot of Bodenberg soils the negative impact that that will have. That is the issue, and that is the concern of the community. So just thought I would throw that in there. But I am curious to hear the discussion. Hopefully there will be one on the approval of another $500,000 on the insurance for this ferry. Thank you.
Thank you. Is there anybody else?
Hi, my name is Doug Lampton, and I'm going to talk a little bit about a tower that was put in the back in my, actually in my front yard, 150 feet away from my doorstep. And they threw out this ordinance that really hurt me, you know, that it depreciated my property. And who knows what kind of damage it's going to do to my body. It might depreciate it, too. Who's got the results on towers and stuff? What does it do to them? And I want this ordinance put back into where the big companies can't do what they want in Alaska. This is our state. You know, they'll come into it no matter what because there's money here. And we can't let big businesses come in and take over like this. You know, it's not fair. It hurt me really bad. You know, it's terrible what happened, and there's lots more towers going to be put in, too, and that ordinance needs put back in there. That's all I got to say.
Thank you. Is there anybody else that didn't have time to sign up? Seeing and hearing none, we'll close the public hearing and bring it back to assembly members. The clerk, would you please read the consent agenda? Does anybody want to pull something? Assemblymember Colbert.
Come a brief recess, please, and then come back on this.
Is there objection? Hearing none, we will come back at 8 o'clock.
We don't have a quorum in here.
Could the assembly please come back to the table, please?
I'm here, Mayor.
Yeah, we have a quorum within hearing distance anyway. Did anybody want to pull anything from the consent agenda?
Yes.
Not Assemblymember Keel, which?
On the consent agenda resolution, item C, resolutions number 12-102.
Anything else? Okay, Madam Clerk.
Resolution serial number 12-100, a resolution amending the budgets for the community pools repair and renovation projects, project number 15007. Resolution serial number 12-101, a resolution amending the budgets for a portion of the fiscal year 2010 through 2012 tourism infrastructure projects and approve the scope of work and budget 2012-2013 winter trail grooming and maintenance. AM number 12-116, approval of change order number 2 to AA Construction Incorporated in the amount of $9,780 to allow additional work due to utility locates for the Brentwood Estates Drainage Improvement Project, project number 30036. AM number 12-117, award of bid number 13-015B to Bering Marine Corporation in the amount of $368,154 for the purchase of sodium chloride. AM number 12-118, award a bid number 13007B to Valley General Construction LLC for the contract amount of $429,902 to realign, upgrade, and improve the drainage on Windy Bottom Road to Windbreak Circle. AM number 12-119, approval of contract amendment to Dowland Construction Incorporated in the amount of $147,926.29. to install the sewage lift station and pave the parking lot as part of the existing Academy Charter School classroom expansion contract. AM number 12-120, approval of election officials for the October 2nd, 2012 regular borough election.
Okay. Assemblymember Solomon.
Mr. Mayor, I move to approve the consent agenda as read into the record by the clerk.
Is there objection? Seeing and hearing none, that passes, and we come back to Resolution 12-102. Madam Clerk.
A resolution approving the financial responsibility for the MV Susitna for September 2012.
Assemblymember Keel, would you move that, please?
I move Resolution Serial Number 12-102.
You want to speak to it?
Yes, two questions, one to the clerk and one to the manager. Through the mayor to the clerk, would it be appropriate to amend this resolution, adding a whereas or a therefore be it resolved that we put the ferry up for sale on the Federal Registry or through a broker immediately? Is that procedurally possible with this resolution?
Mr. Manager, I'm sure it's procedurally possible. Whether it's...
First, that's a clerk question, and I can tell you yes or no if she says yes.
It's whether you can make it work with... You can handle it?
Yes.
Okay. So give us your amendment.
Before I make any amendment, through the mayor to the manager, a question. Could you please explain briefly, as you did to me earlier today, the nature of this? This is $500,000 expenditure for a year's worth of insurance. Can you just summarize it quickly and enlighten us all why we're doing it this way?
Mr. Manager?
Yes, and I would like our finance director to kind of come forward to give the details. Essentially, we were insuring the boat under builder's risk, which is a less costly insurance because it was just sitting in a dock. Now that we're going to have it out and taking responsibility, that coverage is not appropriate, and we will have full coverage on that, which includes liability and then also to protection of the boat should it be damaged. You know, the question is, and I've asked the finance director kind of look to see if we could do this on a month-to-month basis. I believe the answer from our broker is no, but they're still examining that with some information. But I would kind of, you know, buying it all at once is a concern and something we don't want to do. We want the flexibility, but I believe, although not verified, that if I bought homeowners insurance for a year on my home, and I sold it after 2 months, which is always a goal when you want to come to Alaska to sell your house soon, that I would be credited for the other 10 months. So if we have to pay this up front, I believe we would be credited for all the months or all the time we did not use it. We would not have access to that portion of money during the time, but we would only have to pay for the insurance we had in place during the time we needed it.
Ms. Clayton, did you want to address anything?
Through the mayor, the manager, I can't think of anything to add. Unless you wanted me to talk about something specific.
Talk about the breakdown, because the question kind of came: did this cover the actual value of the boat should it be damaged?
Okay. Through the mayor to the assembly members. This was actually this estimate, and this is still an estimate. We don't have final proposals yet. Covers the property, $60 million for the vessel. There was a survey done, so they go with the survey, which they said if we're to replace it, it costs $60 million. So that's the property, the whole new machinery. Then it also covers liability, and that currently the liability is for the crew, the small crew we have, to take it out for demonstrations for sale and to exercise it. And then we have excess liability in case they were to go above our limit of $1 million.
Assemblymember Keogh.
Last question through the mayor to the finance director. So specifically the question was raised earlier. If we bring the ferry north and if we dry dock it, park it in the mud, for instance, at Point McKenzie, and we damage the ship, would our insurance cover that problem?
Through the mayor to Assemblymember Keogh, that could be questionable because, as you're all aware, it has been reported that there is a report out there that said it would damage it because it wouldn't be on its... keels evenly. The keel or the two things it would rest on was not designed to carry the weight of the boat, and since there is that published report, that could be questionable.
Mr. Manager?
This is in light of the RFP that we were requested to put out. We have, and that liability question is part of the equation for the private company to bring the vessel up. So we are asking that if we accept a bid from a private company to bring it up and put it in there, that burden would be placed upon them to repair, replace any damage. So in that instance, we would try to push that liability off on the contractor or the private contractor to do that action.
Assemblymember Solomon.
Mr. Mayor.
I might add, sir, that any insurance policy carries riders. May cost you extra, but you can certainly embrace putting a rider to address that very problem on there.
Assemblymember Arvin.
How did you know? Thank you, Mr. I don't think anybody's really, with respect to being serious, talking about bringing the vessel up and putting it in the mud. I thought we had that conversation before. That is a very sketchy program. What we're doing is we've gone out to the marketplace, rather the administration has gone out to the marketplace, and is soliciting best practices to cradle the vessel in Cook Inlet. Okay? So I guess if one wants to sit around and sensationalize the program, I guess they're entitled to do that. But again, let's see what the market comes back with before we get wrapped around the axles here.
Thank you. Assemblymember Colbert.
I'm very reluctant to support $500,000 for insurance. In fact, I won't be supporting it. I think we need to look at some other options. A self-insured pool where we put perhaps these funds or a majority of these funds in a self-insurance pool and buy a liability policy. And what are the terms of our grant agreement? Do we have to have all this insurance? I think we need some more time and some more options. I'm just not going to vote, throw a $500,000 at that boat tonight. We need a lot more background information and some more thought into this and a different way to skin this cat. Your health insurance here at the borough is self-insured. The school district is primarily self-insured with up to what is the amount? Nick could answer that. We have a lot of risk exposure that is covered through self-insurance pools, and I just don't think we're going to get good value to put this kind of money into insuring that boat. And so I think we need some more options here before we make this decision.
Right now the motion is about no, our only motion is about the insurance right now. Assemblymember Halter.
I guess my question would be for staff or where is this $500,000 coming from in the budget?
I guess Ms. Clayton, I think you better be able to answer that.
That's how the assembly budget, correct?
No. Yeah, out of the assembly budget. Through the mayor to Assemblymember Halter, in the fiscal year 2013 budget, I budgeted $750,000 in the MV Susitna Enterprise Fund. Yes.
Mr. Manager, would you address the fact at this point whether our grant requires us to cover this? What is keeping us from the self-insurance concept?
What is keeping us from the self-insurance concept is we want to make sure if we do that what risk we would be taking on, and we're not prepared tonight to give you an answer. We do have insurance consultant that we talk with, and we will come back with that option. We are, you know, still trying to examine, see if we can do a month-to-month basis, which we have been doing since we've been moving forward. As far as the grant, we owe, if we do not put the ferry into service between Port Mac and Anchorage, we will owe FTA $12.5 million. So whether the boat sinks at this point in time, we decide we want to do something different with it, our liability to FTA is just $12.5 million. Do you agree to that? To FTA.
But they don't require us to carry insurance.
Through our grant agreements, I don't believe that they do. I'll have to verify that, but I don't believe, you know, we're on the hook for $12.5 million, you know, regardless. I think we certainly want to be fiscally responsible because we do have an asset here that we want to remove this cost. But I do not believe we are specifically required through the grant to have insurance coverage on the MV Susitna.
Mayor.
Assemblymember Halter.
In this insurance policy, is the value of the boat listed at, what did you say, $70 million?
Through the mayor to Assemblymember Halter. Actually, in the survey, they listed the value. They also listed what it would cost to replace it. The value was slightly higher. As I recall, it was $65 million, but the cost to replace it, it was $60
million. Total loss to us, we get $60
million? Correct.
Thank you.
Okay, I'll get back here. Assemblymember Cullion.
That's a good deal.
I just want to ask a couple questions of the Tammy, finance and the manager. What are the time deadlines we have here in regards to insurance? What is the time limits of this policy versus where we're at now?
Through the mayor to Assemblymember Colligan, what we currently have will expire on August 31st, and they will not renew the builder's risk. They know that the boat is no longer in the shipyard and that it's in Ward's Cove.
Okay. And is there any way to insure for only our amount of exposure, which is $12,500?
I asked that same thing, and they said no.
And have we looked at co-insuring this with the state somehow in the marine highway system and their pool of insurance?
I have not looked at that. I did... We responded to an RFP with the state, and I made some recommendations there if the state were to take it on a temporary basis.
And what was that proposal, that they take on these costs, or are we liable for these costs if they take it?
Well, I would recommend that if the state leases the vessel, that they provide the insurance, because they can get the insurance much cheaper than we can since they've got 20 or so vessels.
Okay, Assemblymember Woods.
Yes, could I ask the manager if we're going to show the vehicle and take it out for runs, would this cover the liability for doing that? Is that one factor we're looking at?
Mr. Manager.
Yes, this insurance would cover that.
Thank you.
Assemblymember Keogh.
I earlier stated I intended to amend this, but on advice of the attorney, it doesn't seem to fit with the resolution. So towards the end of the meeting, during remarks, I'll be making a motion that we put the vessel up for sale and list it in the Federal Registry later.
No, that's not appropriate right now. Are we ready for the question? Assemblymember Colbert.
Mr. Manager, what kind of options do we have here? Can we just pay for the stevedoring or the security on the boat, bifurcate the insurance issue? Do you have any options? I mean, to spend the money on the policy now, it seems like we're kind of in a box here. So little time.
Mr. Manager?
I agree. We're in a box, and there's very little time. We will continue to seek if we can do this on a month-to-month basis, and that's what we've been working at and actually preferring, because we do not know where we're going to be 2 or 3 months from now. And so, you know, tying up $500,000 for a whole year when we only may need it for 3 or 4 months, which is definitely my hope, seems a little difficult. But I think because this is our last meeting of the month and we go on a month-to-month basis with the ongoing expense, we're short on time.
Assemblymember Colbert.
I would move to amend to reduce the insurance amount to 1/12 of the $490,000, and which would be 1 month, and authorize, and that would be my amendment to reduce the insurance amount to only be 1 month, not a year policy, so we can get a little bit more clarity on this. Because the reason why, members, is the enterprise fund is nothing more than red ink against our balance sheet. We don't have any money in that fund. We just draw down some future reserves. It's a fund that's set aside that you can spend without having to balance the checkbook. In other words, you can write hot checks. And so I'm not in favor of writing a hot check for $500,000 and having to figure out how to pay it off later. I want to know a little bit more before I spend this kind of money.
Okay, there's a motion to amend to, you want to simplify it to 1 month. It might not be exactly 1/12.
1 month, yeah.
Okay.
1 month's insurance.
Mr. Manager.
Yeah, I would like our finance director to address, we might not be able to, if that's the case, we might not be able to purchase the insurance.
In which case we would have a special meeting, probably, to come back and deal with it. You want to speak to that, Ms. Clayton?
Sure. This came up again this week, and our broker checked, and there are no markets that will just issue a 1 month certificate. If we wanted to pay monthly, we could finance it, but then that would cost us more money.
Assemblymember Halter.
How much more in that finance contract?
Well, it would be, I think it was just under 3%, so it would be 3% on the balance.
You have a total figure for that? I mean, real quick.
Yes, $15,000 for the year. And I'm not sure if they will require more than 1 month, like they might require quarterly or something like that.
There's a primary, Assemblymember Culligan, to the amendment.
I just wanted to ask one quick question. I see we're in a box, but the bottom line is on this insurance policy. What's the time frame for putting that into place? Can we schedule a special meeting for next week? There's a couple things happening in the next couple days that may change the game. Give us something. I'm not willing to do this at the moment. Bottom line, but when? How long? How much notice do you have to have before the 30th to initiate that policy? Can we have a special meeting next week, and when do we have to notice that? That's my bottom line.
Mayor?
Ms. Clayton, you have the floor, and then Assemblymember Arvin.
Okay, through the mayor to Assemblymember Culligan, I'll let the borough clerk speak to advertising, but with regards to if, for example, we had a meeting next Tuesday, would that be sufficient time to get it in place by September 1? Yes.
But and he was also asking if there's anything that's going to change in the way of what we know, or that
could precipitate a special meeting?
From all my discussions this month with our broker, they're definitely not going to do a month-to-month. In fact, I just reiterated that on Monday when I was talking to him. And I guess that was the only question that was raised. So that wouldn't change.
So we're effectively voting on whether to have a special meeting next week.
With no additional Christmas tree ornaments on that tree.
So before us is a motion to amend to fund for just 1 month. Are we ready for the... Oh, Assemblymember Arvin, I'm sorry.
Yeah, thank you, Mr. Mayor. So I am compelled to ask why, with 9 days left in August, are we faced with a $500,000 question that has a trigger date of 1 September?
Who wants to answer that?
I'll address this. I believe the last two discussions we've had, the last couple months, I informed the Assembly that our insurance was going to be rising. Also, although Assemblymember Culver is correct that we're funding this on a proprietary basis, this number of $750,000 was in the budget for insurance for this year. So we have planned for this. We've stretched this out as long as we could. And so we have been working the last couple of weeks on trying to find the cheapest rate of insurance and trying to go on a month-to-month basis. And we're finding out that the answer is you got about as cheap as you can get. And we're not finding acceptable one month at a time. However, you could authorize this payment 1 month at a time with the understanding that we'll be making monthly payments with a little bit of additional cost to do so. So you could tonight authorize 1/12 of that, but with the understanding that we'll be coming back each month. And we'll have to find out through the insurance that if we are done with the ferry in 3 or 4 months, what the penalty is, if any, if we no longer need the insurance. And we can certainly find that out in the meantime.
Are we ready for the question? Assemblymember Culligan.
I'm going to vote against the amendment and follow up and propose that we schedule a meeting for next Tuesday or something with just only this subject. I think hopefully we'll have some different information and we can address it then.
Mr. Mayor.
Assemblymember Arvin.
I appreciated the history lesson by the manager, but my point is, what if the answer tonight was no? What if the answer tonight was no? There's no time to advertise. There's no time for staff to react. My point is, this is being brought to us way too late. So we are being forced into a box to answer this question, break it apart, do a 1/12 month to month, or say no. And if we say no, I'd like to know what the alternative is, please. Because I'm not ready to say yes.
Mr. Manager, question is what if we vote for no insurance tonight, what happens?
We would have insurance till the end of the month, and then we would park it and make sure we attend prayer meeting every Wednesday night.
And probably pay twice as much for insurance.
Assemblymember Culligan.
Also ask a question to Tammy and Finance. If we say no, if it's uninsured for a month, do we then have problems getting insurance just like any other lapsed insurance without some other problems? Do we know that?
Culligan. We could. It is. We've worked really hard to get this insurance to work on the program we have, because as everyone's aware, it has been very public that we're trying to figure out something to do with the vessel, other than keep it, to just kind of keep it bluntly. And the marketplace knows that too. You know, it's been publicized in the paper and everything.
Mayor.
Assemblymember Halter.
Ms. Clayton, if I vote yes for this, can you still fashion your monthly payments with interest?
Through the mayor to Assemblymember Halter, yes.
Thank you.
Or let me caveat that. If they require like a minimum of 3 months, yes. I could do the minimum of whatever.
Are we ready for the question? The question is whether to authorize insurance for 1 month. Is there objection? There is, yes. Objection. Madam Clerk.
Assemblymember Solomon.
Yes.
Assemblymember Arvin.
No.
Assemblymember Culver.
Yes.
Assemblymember Culligan.
No.
Assemblymember Woods.
No.
Assemblymember Halter. Assemblymember Keough.
No.
Mr. Mayor, it's failed with Assemblymember Solomon and Culver in favor.
Okay, we have before us the main motion as not amended.
Mr. Mayor.
Assemblymember Culligan.
Can I ask just procedurally if we want, can I put my intent out there? I would like to see us on Tuesday know what those quarterly payments are, what those options really are. And I would be willing to come in for a short meeting next Tuesday to address that one issue and know what those payments are and make a decision then. That's kind of where I'm at. I appreciate Mr. Culver's attempt, and I think we're heading the right direction. But by Tuesday, I think there's a couple other things to come in play. But if Tammy could come back with actual numbers, additional costs, and really know what those options are, I think it would be beneficial for us to have a brief meeting and schedule a meeting on Tuesday if it's possible. Thank you.
And Mr. Mayor?
Okay, you're after Assemblymember Woods.
Could I ask Tammy, if we go without insurance at all, would we risk having to pay for a new appraisal to ensure the insurance company that nothing has changed between our last insurance and the one that we, that during the lapse period, that they're insuring the same vehicle? Wouldn't that be an extra cost?
Through the mayor to Assemblymember Woods, it would probably depend upon the time that had lapsed. The survey is, I want to say it's dated July. I'm looking at the manager. Is that right? It's very recent, I believe. But I think it's dated in July, so it's very current.
Well, it would depend on the lapse of time then.
Yeah, I mean, I think if you waited a year, they might not. They might want a new survey, something like that.
Thank you.
Yeah. Assemblymember Arvin.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. Question for Tammy. Tammy, can you get all the information with respect to whether it's allowable as a month-to-month billing or if it's going to be a minimum three-month or quarterly cycle payment obligation? Will you be able to have that definitively also by Tuesday?
Through the mayor to Assemblymember Arvin, yes, I should be able to.
Thank you.
So do I hear a motion to postpone to time certain Tuesday? And by the way, the clerk says there is time to advertise that. Is that your motion, Mr. Culligan?
Absolutely, yes. Thank you.
6 o'clock? 6 p.m.?
Yes.
Okay. There's a motion to postpone to time certain Tuesday, 6 p.m., next Tuesday, 6 p.m. Is there objection to that? There is objection. So, Madam Clerk.
Assemblymember Arvin.
Yes.
Assemblymember Culver.
Yes.
Assemblymember Culligan.
Yes.
Assemblymember Woods.
Yes.
Assemblymember Halter.
Yes.
Assemblymember Keough.
No.
Assemblymember Solomon.
No.
Mr. Mayor, it passes with Assemblymember Keough and Solomon opposed.
Thank you. That takes care of our consent agenda. At your convenience, Madam Clerk, if you could read the introductions.
For introduction and public hearing on September 18th, our ordinance serial number 12-114 with accompanying resolution serial number 12-103, ordinance serial number 12-115, ordinance 12-116, ordinance 12-117 with accompanying reso 12-104, and for public hearing on October 16th, ordinance serial number 12-113.
Assemblymember Solomon.
I move to introduce the legislation as read into the record by the clerk and set the public hearings for September 18th, 2012, and October 16th, 2012, respectively.
Is there objection? Seeing and hearing none. We move to the vacancy report. Assemblymember Solomon.
Mr. Mayor, I move to approve the mayor's confirmations this evening as follows. Local Emergency Planning Committee, the resignation of Stephen Adams, and Parks, Recreation, and Trails Advisory Board, the addition of Kenneth Barber.
Is there discussion? Is there objection? Hearing none. We are ready for comments. So we will start with Assemblymember Culver, and well, I guess we'll first of all, Mr. Manager, do you have any closing comments?
Yes, sir, I do. Under Manager's Report, inform the Assembly that we have state lobbying services RFP out on the street right now that are closing September 10th, and I'm looking for direction on what involvement they would like to have in this process.
Okay, Mr. Attorney.
I have no additional comments.
Madam Clerk.
I don't have anything, Mr. Mayor.
Okay, Assemblymember Colbert.
In response to the manager's question about the lobbyist contract, typically the Assembly has scored those individually, looking at all the proposals, ranking the proposals, and then the individually, and then those scores or the score sheets are then compiled by staff, and that's how the selection has been made in the past. I just wanted to kind of hit on one highlight and on one issue that's kind of out there. You know, it's campaign season and a lot of information flying around. Well, a lot of misinformation flying around. Couple budgets ago, we had a forensic accountant come in, and we found out that the borough was, the budgets were over budgeted about 14%. And there were numerous excess funds in reserves that have been created not too long ago, reserves for emergencies, capital projects, matching funds. And a lot of those reserves were in excess of their statutory minimums. And we used those monies to do the Dorothy Jones addition remodel and a few other things and keep property taxes in check. And so when I hear people say that the borough is spending down reserves, that it's such a misinformation because we have a 25% fund balance set aside that we do not touch. 25% of our borough budget is our reserve, is our fund balance. The other funds are excess funds set aside in other reserves above and beyond the 25%, and they are at or in excess of their statutory minimum. So when I hear talk like the Assembly is spending down reserves, it is just factually incorrect. We are in very good financial shape. I think we've been concerned that taxpayers were paying more than necessary, and so we kind of tried to true the amount collected with the amount budgeted and spent. And that's our role as the keepers of the purse. So I just want to put that on the record. It is kind of troubling that we are still grappling with the this financial hangover from the boat. We're primarily a public services entity, emergency services, road, and education, to quote my friend Ron Arvin. And so we need to get back to that business. The maritime operations are specialty, much different than running a bus service or anything else. I mean, just the markets you have to be in. And so I just see that coming through, that our staff is taxed with how to procure, for instance, this insurance, these other services. And I guess it's time to make a decision to go or no-go on this, and we'll see what our options are. But I think we're all probably getting close to that spot. Thank you.
Assemblymember Culligan.
I'll take my 5 minutes or whatever to bring back and apologize to the body if they feel that addressing the business inventory tax and other things are a waste of time. But it would have been more appropriate to happen in a meeting this summer that never happened. So I will continue to bring these issues each meeting to you until they're resolved and we actually set some direction. I feel it's unfair, especially in economic development. We've hired a professional. And I would like to make sure that we don't set them up for failure. I think we need to establish some goals and priorities and for the administration and the like, and start moving in that direction. And I am also concerned. We talked about the municipality of Anchorage's inventory tax. And I'll just tell you, for their $20,000, I get a notice and I get a follow-up, and there's a random audit done on all of those. For us to have a voluntary tax, and I have a question for the attorney, do we have any legal responsibility, or can a business file a claim because not everybody's being treated fairly or equally, or if there's 150 out of 5,000 that are responding to that, what, if any, do we have any exposure there?
Mr. Attorney?
For a business to affirmatively sue us for failing to collect taxes from a different business, I don't think there would be a legal claim. Wouldn't stop somebody from trying to sue us, but is there a claim? And the answer is no. Enforcement of the law, the defense would be the enforcement of the law is a discretionary action subject to appropriations by the Borough Assembly. I mean, there are things that can be done to step up enforcement, obviously.
So my point to that regard is, if we're going to continue to have these fees and taxes, we need to be responsible about enforcing them and making sure that everybody's participating or not, number one. Number two, the business inventory tax. Everybody likes to talk about the big box stores, et cetera. They're not the ones suffering business inventory tax. It's the smaller business. If they were actually required to report like they're supposed to, whether it's zero or it's 500,000, they subtract a million, it's a huge burden for them versus the big businesses. And so whether it's a dollar, it's $500,000, or $1 million, it's still a burden to the small business. It's not a burden to the big business. And the big business has lots of real estate that we're taxing. Those are the things to keep in mind. Thank you.
Assemblymember Woods.
Yes, I was a little disappointed. I happened to be in the House at the time of the 5 o'clock report on the cell tower issue on Channel 2, and the reporter indicated that she was unable to hear from different assembly members that she'd called, and really I know for a fact that myself and Steve Culligan did call back before the show and give her our opinion on this, and so I guess it's a warning to us to kind of be careful what we say that might go on TV. And other than that, on the ferry situation, I attended the Port Commission meeting yesterday. We are all, including the Port Commission, very concerned about this, and RFPs have gone out to different companies, and everybody is looking for an alternative to bringing that up here and stacking it somewhere. All the alternatives are very expensive, other than to see if we can find a user that would take over for us. So, thank you.
Thank you. Assemblymember Solomon.
Just a comment I made earlier. I don't need to have previous issues have my nose rubbed in it by bringing forward ill-formed ordinances to debate for half an hour. I got it. And I resent that. And as far as the ferry goes, it's an exercise in futility if you think that you're not going to insure that boat. And if you don't, then your fiscal responsibility is negligible. It's none. That boat must be insured. So I'll see you Tuesday.
Thank you. Assemblymember Keogh.
Four comments very quickly. First, regarding Assemblymember Culver's comment regarding the spend down of funds. According to the finance director, I queried a couple of weeks ago, and our miscellaneous reserve funds in the last 2 years have been spent down from an approximate amount of $15 million to currently about $6 million. I don't have the numbers with me, but that's my recollection. Second of all, regarding the manager's request for the amount of input on the selection of the lobbyist, I'd like to be involved. Third, the tall tower ordinance. There's a proposed ordinance before the Planning Commission that was introduced last night, and they will have a public hearing for that on their next meeting in September. And just for the information of assembly members and the public, I've notified various members of the former Tall Tower Working Group, representatives of the public, as well as two representatives of the telecommunications industry representing both MTA and AT&T, so they're aware that this is coming before the Planning Commission and ultimately us again. And finally, if a motion is required, I move that we direct the manager to list the MV Susitna for sale and also list it to make it available via the Federal Registry.
The motion on the floor. Is there objection?
I object until we have our meeting next Tuesday.
Okay, I've heard objection. Do we want to talk about this anymore? Okay, Madam Clerk, would you call the roll?
Assemblymember Culver.
No.
Assemblymember Culligan.
No.
Assemblymember, Woods.
No.
Assemblymember Halter.
No.
Assemblymember Keogh.
Yes.
Assemblymember Salmon.
No.
Assemblymember Arvin.
No.
Mr. Mayor, it failed with Assemblymember Halter and Keogh in support.
Thank you. Assemblymember Halter, comments and motions?
No motions, but I got a couple. I'd request from the manager if we could get a road bond update from Mr. Schwartz, maybe during manager comments next meeting. I'd sure appreciate that. Kind of tell us where the projects are, when they're going to be engineered, when they're going to be bid, and when they're going to be constructed. I hear good things, so to get that, keep going. I want to check on that $200,000 legislation that's supposed to go back into the CVB money from wherever. I'd appreciate seeing that. And on that economic development, we passed an economic development plan, I think it was 2-3 years ago. TIP Industries, or TIP Consultants, spent a lot of time up here with 300-400 businesses doing an economic development plan. I hope our borough staff follows it, and that's where our strategy should be laid out. And that's my comment on that.
Mr. Manager?
Yes, I'm glad you made that statement regarding the TIP strategies. Don Dyer is using that as his Bible.
Great.
When do I get my Bible?
Might be a different meeting.
Assemblymember Arvin.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. So I had, regarding the ferry, I had some fairly strong positions that I have remained flexible on over the last several, many, many months. But I will tell you, I am all in, all done. And I hope that this body is prepared to make some hard choices come Tuesday. You know, we had a discussion at our last meeting about the monthly cost being around $70,000 a month, and then fast forward not too much, and all of a sudden we're talking about, you know, plunking out $500,000, and I'm not comfortable with that. So Tuesday is going to be a defining moment for me on the ferry, and I hope it is for others as well. I could go on and on, but those are my comments for tonight.
Thank you. Assemblymember Woods.
Yes, I'd like to move that the school site selection committee present to the assembly their number one choice for the school, South Colony School site.
South Palmer.
South Palmer.
Okay, there's a motion on the floor requiring the school site selection committee to forward their number one selection for South Palmer school site. Assemblymember Colbert.
I believe that's in conflict with code, Mr. Mayor, and therefore out of order. The code requires that the site selection make recommendation, then it goes to the Planning Commission, and then to the Assembly. So I think we have to follow that process.
Mr. Attorney, you want to keep us on the straight and narrow?
If Assemblymember Woods is trying to direct them to kind of pass a resolution, then perhaps that would be in conflict with the code. I'm trying to pull it up right here. What you could ask for is an update or a status report, either from the chair or from some correspondence from the body on where are they? What's their plan? Do they have a preliminary pick? How soon? You know, more of an administrative type report on what are they doing? What's the holdup? What are the issues? And either have the assembly representatives here talk about it, or the school district representatives, or the chair of the board, which I don't know who that is anymore. There you go. Or have the chair of the board come report and basically report to the assembly on what's going on, what the top recommendation looks like it's going to be, and where it goes.
I think I would make that my request.
Okay, so are you okay with requesting a report on this issue from the site selection committee?
Yes, definitely.
Okay. Is there objection to that? Hearing none? Carried. So, going back to the tower thing in Channel 2, they called me that night that was referred to, and I said I would love to talk to them, but I was out in the hayfield, and so they drove out as far as the yard and then turned around and went back. So I don't know what happened. Unfortunately, I'm going to be in Tampa on Tuesday, so you guys are going to take care of the ferry dilemma in my absence, and I'll be taking care of national issues. I attended a library, the Borough Library Board meeting Saturday over at Wasilla, and learned of a new grant source. It was new to me for getting video conferencing in the libraries, and evidently they're in a lot of libraries around the state. So I've asked the manager to see if there's a way we can plug that into our goals and objectives with getting more input from the community in our assembly meetings and our boards and everything after we get our new assembly chambers. I am also going to ask the on our next joint assembly school board meeting that that we vet the concept of pay-as-you-go. I spent a good session, I think it was this afternoon, maybe it was yesterday, with Mr. Forrest. He has some experience with this. It's not a harebrained idea that's new to me. It is done elsewhere. It avoids the bond and interest that's carried with debt. Some pretty innovative things that can be done, and I'd like to find a way to make better use of the $11+ million that we spend on interest every year. So that's in the offing, and I believe that's all my comments. If there's no objection, we will adjourn the meeting.